What's better in life than a bottle of wine, great food, and an amazing conversation?
My name is Kate Sullivan, and I am the host of To Dine For.
I'm a journalist, a foodie, a traveler with an appetite for the stories of people who are hungry for more. Dreamers, visionaries, artists, those who hustle hard in the direction they love. I travel with them to their favorite restaurant to hear how they did it. This show is a toast to them and their American dream. Thank you to the sponsors of To Dine For the podcast, American National and Spiritless. To Dine For the podcast is brought to you by American National, offering a broad suite of insurance solutions to protect what matters most to you. For 115 years, American National has remained committed to helping people and communities make a real difference in their lives. American National supports great local community organizations led by the kind of people you hear about on To Dine For, people who are inspired to make a difference and inspire others in return. American National's philosophy is helping where it's needed helps us all. For a description of the American National companies, the products they write, and the states in which they're licensed, visit americannational.com/dine. Spiritless supports the conscientious cocktailer who wants to live fully, but drink differently. Their signature Kentucky 74 is a distilled, non-alcoholic spirit for your favorite bourbon cocktails. It's zero alcohol, zero guilt, and just 15 calories per serving. Whether you go completely spiritless or go halvesies with a foolproof bourbon to lower the ABV in your cocktail, you can get your bottle today at spiritless.com. Use promo code TODINEFOR to get free shipping. Welcome to Dine For the podcast. I'm Kate Sullivan. Join us at the table as we meet some of the world's most creative and brilliant minds at their favorite restaurant. On today's episode is the creator of My Block, My Hood, My City, Jamal Cole.
I don't know how to do anything else. It's what I'm good at. Like, I grew up homeless. You know, I grew up very poor. I think God uses me to inspire people. That's my gift. And so I know I'm walking in my purpose.
Jamal Cole is a community organizer and activist who is on a mission to unite Chicago through education and service. He's also an author, speaker, mentor, and a champion of social justice. Today, I'm meeting him on the south side of Chicago in the Chatham neighborhood at Josephine's Southern Cooking. Over fried chicken and waffles, I'm hearing the full story of how and why he created My Block, My Hood, My City, and how he found himself in the center of the Black Lives Matter movement this summer. Hope you'll enjoy this revealing and emotional conversation with Jamal Cole. Of all the restaurants in Chicago, why Josephine's? Why is this your favorite?
Oh, I mean, you're not famous until your picture is on the wall, and we call it Captain Hard Time. So you see all the community activists, all the legendary people, residents, politicians, they're all on the wall right there. So I'll know I'm famous when I one day when I get on the wall at Captain Hard Times.
Yeah, yeah. And this, and of all the things on the menu, what's your favorite?
I've only had one thing on the menu, and that's chicken and waffles. I've never had anything else. Like, when we, every time we do a snowing event, we shovel for seniors in the area. Hundreds of volunteers come over from all over the city, and they always feed everybody here, and they already know. When I call, Jamal wants at least 200, 300 chicken and waffle meals, and we just do it.
Nice.
Yeah, I've never had anything different.
So this is, now, where did you grow up in Chicago?
I didn't grow up in Chicago.
Huh.
Yeah, I grew up in North Chicago, Waukegan area. So I was born in Libertyville, Illinois.
Nice.
I was born in Condell Hospital. I was raised in Waukegan, Illinois. You know, I went to high school in Kenosha, Wisconsin. I went to college for 4 years in Nebraska. And, you know, my mom's from the west side of Chicago. So when I graduated college, I wanted to make a difference. And I just moved to the south side, to Chatham, because that's where the real estate agent told me that that's where black entrepreneurship is. That's where black homeownership is. That's where, you know, you're going to be an upstanding black person. You want to move to Chatham. And so I moved here in 2007. And yeah, and I just started volunteering right away.
What does it mean to be a resident of Chatham? What is Chatham like?
Yeah, Chatham is a state of mind. It's not really like a community. It's like a black entrepreneurship, black home ownership, block clubs, supporting local businesses. Chatham is like communities and neighborhoods are already different. So community is a social group of people that get together to improve the quality of life in their block, right? It's people. So Chatham... there's so many block clubs here. That's what we're about. You see our manicured lawns, our brick bungalows. You see just upstanding black people. That's mm-hmm. what Chatham's about.
Yeah. So this is your hood now. Chatham is your hood.
All day. Yeah, I've been fighting out of the Chatham corner for 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the inspiration for My Block, My Hood, My City. Yeah. Where did the inspiration come from?
Well, just wanting to fall in love with Chicago and travel to all 77 community areas. Mm-hmm. And Chicago is really parochial. So if you're from one side of the city, somebody can be like, man, this is my hood. Or I'm from 21st Street. I'm from the low end.
Right.
And this is my block, my hood. And so
there's that ownership that people are proud of where they're from.
Yeah,
and it's not just Chicago, but their block.
Exactly. I love it. And so, yeah, I always wanted to be a leader, and I wanted to, be a mayor of Chicago. And so I said, the community is going to be my classrooms, and I'm going to go to all 77 communities and ask, how can I help? How can I get involved? And I started doing that 10 years ago. And that's how I started blogging about everywhere I go. It's just simple. Like, I go to a different community and eat at a hidden gem restaurant, or I see an artful intersection mm-hmm. or a community route, and I blog about it twice a week and put it on my blog. And I just grew up from there, just building connections and helping people.
To Dine For, the show that I created, and this podcast is about how food tells a story.
Yeah.
Right? And if you've traveled to all 77 hoods, mm-hmm. you know that the restaurants in all of those different neighborhoods say something about that community.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think the average Chicagoan knows just how interesting and diverse and unique each block is.
Yeah, it's you could travel the world without leaving Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to think we're so different. We're kind of similar too. You look at, like, if you go to Pilsen, they're eating tortilla, beef, and rice, right? You go to Greek Town, they're eating pita, beef, and rice. You go to Divine Avenue, they eat naan, beef, and rice. Like, we all, mm-hmm. we different. We put our little flavors on it, but we eat the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We dye the river green. You could travel the world without leaving this place. And I encourage people to look up from their cell phone when you're on a train and see what they can learn from different sights and sounds around you. And if you love eating, then this is one of the best cities you can. I mean, who don't want to go to a mom and pop shop and have? Like, what am I talking? No franchises, man. I'm talking about, like, straight love into food.
That's right. No franchises, like mom and pop local spots.
We're eating at Josephine's, a Chatham institution created by Mother Josephine Wade. This restaurant is the place for a hearty bowl of gumbo or some chicken and waffles. It's also the heart and soul of this neighborhood, a place for people to gather and unite.
My Block, My Hood, My City was created, as you said, service and education. How can I help? How can I serve? And how can I learn?
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the programs.
Okay. So we have youth development and community development. So with youth development, we have our Explorers program. Started off from Cook County Jail. Most kids in Chicago have never left their neighborhood. They've never waved for a taxi. They've never been on an elevator. Their whole worldview is shaped by the infrastructure of North Lawndale, of Chatham, of Inglewood, of South Shore. That can be tragic. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we take teenagers from the most divested communities on educational field trips, and mm-hmm. we expose them to different parts of Chicago, different professions. North Lawndale, for instance, there's 15 currency exchanges and ain't no banks.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ask a kid what's a job at a bank, they don't know because they've never been to one.
Wow.
Right? So we'll take them to a bank, or we expose kids to trading firms to learn about Microsoft engineering, different foods, right? Getting outside of McDonald's to eat something different. So that's our youth development, our Explorers program. We started off with just working with kids from barbershops. Now we work with 150 students a month in 10 different schools.
Mm-hmm.
And, we have a 36-school waiting list for our after-school Explorers program right now. The goal is to get that program in different cities, too. So that's called our Explorers program. There's also, on the youth development side, our youth-led tours, mm-hmm. where our students lead tours of their neighborhoods. That's their summer job.
Oh, that's awesome. So they give you a tour of Chatham, or they give you a tour of North Lawndale.
Yes, it's 100% created by youth, and they show you the hidden gems. You know, hey, this is 16th and Kedzie, where, Sal's Hoagies, they're the best hoagies ever had in the city, best hoagies in the city. Here's Farm on Ogden, where we get our fresh vegetables. Here's my block. This is my school. And one cool thing that's happened this year is the cops, the Chicago Police Department, have signed on to take youth-led tours. So to be a police officer in Chicago, you need 1,000 hours of training. 900 are mandatory, 100 are electives. Five of those hours go through My Block, My Hood, My City youth-led tour. So all the cadets, they tour North Lawndale before they police it. So you have youth, state's attorney, and police department that get to know each other, collective problem solving, and our goal is to get them to stop shooting unarmed people, right?
There's always tests, right, in life.
Mm-hmm.
You created My Block, My Hood, My City 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Explain to me what the past 5 months have been like for you since we saw the video of George Floyd and everything that's transpired after that, I would imagine your work took on a deeper meaning.
I'm exhausted. I mean, in 2 days, I got 63,000 emails. So
in 2 days, you got 63,000 emails.
Yes. So, and that's just 2 days of the last couple months. So I was on every media channel you could think of, taking a lot of interviews, talking to a lot of corporations that I don't know if corporations care about justice being denied or if they care about business being interrupted nowadays, but right. I'll take the phone call.
Sure.
I've taken the opportunity to listen and learn from other activists around the country. Man, my message has been clear and simple. Like, you know, I always tell people, listen, if you follow these 15 words, you can make improvements in your life. I'll save you thousands of hours in going to community group meetings, thousands of hours of reading books on social organizing. These 15 words are my philosophy, and it's taken me 12 years to develop. And I share it in every interview. Those 15 words are what something simple I can do that'll have a positive impact on my block. Mm-hmm. What's something simple I can do that'll have a positive impact on my block? Because you don't have to have a master's degree to make a difference, right? You don't got to have a law degree to listen. But you just got to, like, start with the simple things. Like, if there's 16 houses on one side of the street and 19 houses on the other side of the street, that's 35 houses. Get to know your neighbors. Start a block club party in the backyard, a block club meeting. Do something simple, and that's how you develop the muscle it takes to take on bigger challenges like policies. So everything we do in my block, my hood, my city is simple. So that's been my message around the country for the last couple of months. Everybody said, I want to get involved. What do I do? You know, I work at a corporation. What's something simple you can do? If you work in IT, can you make a website for a social impact organization? If you if you work at a law firm, can you guys have an expungement clinic in the hood somewhere and to help people expunge their records? What's something simple you can do to make a difference?
And we can all do something.
We all could. Yeah. We all can. And that's And it's that's how I started this. Simple stuff.
Yeah. And so you said you're exhausted, which you have been a part of the protests. You've been part of the coordination, and which has got to have been massive in Chicago. What was that like?
I was to see the cops' eyes up close, and when they threw a blue smoke bomb at me, and to see their tattoos with their sleeves rolled up, and they all had tattoos down their sleeves. They look like rappers. They have the billy clubs, the old wooden billy clubs with the etchings in them. I used them before. They look like Call of Duty people, and they show up there saying they're showing great restraint, but they look, when you show up in front of an 18-year-old or a teenager wearing, looking like a Call of Duty officer, it says drama right away, you know?
The tension that you felt every day in the midst of the protests, it wasn't just about trying to speak your mind. It was the hostility you felt from them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I felt it. I was there. You just have to lead with love.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Maple syrup?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That looks awesome.
Appreciate
that looks
you,
awesome. Thank you very much.
Well,
thank you.
I see behind you.
All right.
Thank you very much. Well, I appreciate
thanks,
it. This is great. Thanks for taking me here. Wow.
No, it's all good.
I haven't had a waffle in I don't know how long. This is awesome.
Man, you and me both.
We'll have more from our delicious meal in just a minute, but first, thank you to our sponsors. To Dine For, the podcast, is brought to you by American National, offering a broad suite of insurance solutions to protect what matters most to you. There's a funny thing about most insurance commercials, whether they feature lizards or birds or funny cartoon characters. It seems like they want you to think about anything but insurance. American National, on the other hand, has real local agents who get to know you, so they can help you reach better decisions about your insurance to make sure you're protecting what matters most to you. American National agents are part of your community. They're your neighbors. So whether it's solutions for your home, your small business, your farm, or your life, you can count on your local American National agent to make sure you get the discounts you deserve and the protection you need without paying for extras you don't. With American National, you get an ally, not just a web page. For a description of the American National companies, the products they write, in the states in which they're licensed, visit americannational.com/dine. If you're like me, there are times when you want to feel like you're having a fancy cocktail, but you don't actually want the alcohol. So I love Kentucky 74 from Spiritless. It's a distilled, non-alcoholic spirit for your favorite bourbon cocktails, but with just 15 calories per serving and none of the guilt. You can pre-order your bottle today at spiritless.com. Use the promo code TODINEFOR to get free shipping. Now back to our conversation.
I want to help.
You care.
Yeah, I do. I do. And I'll show up. Mm-hmm. And when you show up, just like I do at the jail, just like I do in the parks, just like I do in the schools, mm-hmm. You swim. You figure it out.
Mm-hmm. How do you think the mayor's doing, Mayor Lori Lightfoot, in the midst of all of this?
It's a tough position, you know. You have to necessarily displease a lot of people mm-hmm. while hoping to bring the city together as a whole. Mm-hmm. I think the power is always with the people. I think Mayor Lightfoot is super qualified. I think she has done a great job. I love how she's using social media. Mm-hmm. I think that democracy starts from the block for me, though. So it's like the mayor doesn't demand that we get to know our neighbors, mm-hmm. but if we want our blocks to be safer, we got to demand that ourselves. Mm-hmm. The aldermen don't demand that you pick up trash in your alley. But if you want there to be less rats born in your alley, you have to demand that of yourself. Mm-hmm. The senators don't demand that we advocate for education reform. But if you want the per pupil tuition funding to be equitable, you need to go to Springfield and advocate for that stuff for your students. So I feel like I have nothing but love for Lori Lightfoot. I'm all about working with politicians, working with corporations, and working with nonprofits. But I feel like if they could change things from the top, they would have been done it. It can't change from there. It has to be from the bottom. It has to be from the grassroots. And so I think she's doing a good job amplifying the voices of community members. But I think I'm willing to help. I'm willing to help however she needs help. So.
You know, how do you get people to care about their neighbors, right? Mm-hmm. It sounds like what's at the very heart of this is the 15 words that you said, which is, you know, what is something small that I can do for mm-hmm. my neighbor?
Yeah.
I know they're different from yours, but that's pretty much the heart of it.
Yeah.
How do you get people to care about their neighbors?
Every block has somebody that cares. It's just helping that person amplify what they do.
Identifying the people who are the helpers and then giving them resources.
Yeah, I mean, just showing up and helping them. And that shows people, hey, we care. They're doing the work already, but you just need to help them out a little bit. And then that gives them a little bit of encouragement. Hey, let me get you a laptop, right? Let me start you a Facebook group for your block club. Mm-hmm. We can help pay for your block club party. We can get you a new sign. We can get you some tools. What do you need to help improve the quality of life in your block? And then connecting them to other block leaders that they can share information together. Here's how we got the drug house off our block. Here's how we advocated for a new speed bump. Here's how many signatures it took for us to get the stop sign. Here's how we got the new the LED lights as opposed to the old lights. This is how we did it. Here's how we get our alley cleaned up. Like, this is just like block wisdom that is shared amongst people. So that's kind of how we do it. And it's but it all starts with going to the block. Like, mm-hmm. you have to go there and meet the block club captain or the block community group president, walk around the block with them and talk about whatever challenges they're facing. That's how we did it.
The Black Lives Matter movement isn't new. Mm. It's been going on.
Yeah.
And so it is only new to the people who are just learning about it.
Yeah.
Which has got to be infuriating in a way, but also galvanizing,
mm-hmm.
because it is a movement,
mm-hmm.
and you can feel it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can feel it. Doing the work that you've been doing for over a decade, what would you like to see happen in the next year, 5 years, that you think would really make a difference in the city of Chicago?
Well, by 2025, I don't want any student ever to say they've never been downtown Chicago. Like, I don't want any high school student ever say that again. That just doesn't make any sense. If you show kids better, they'll do better. But if they're going to stay isolated in their neighborhoods, they can't do better. So I want to eliminate that altogether. I want kids to be able to travel outside their comfort zones. So that'd be one of the things I want to do. I want people to stop depending so much on big city government and really believe that they can make a difference. You know, if you want to plant sunflowers in a hood one day, that's going to be a beacon of hope for somebody. We all need to create a little ripple of hope on our blocks so we can make a wave of change together. I love when I'm walking down the street and somebody stops me and says, hey, you know, I love your message of what's something simple I can do. I was riding my skateboard to the park today and I brought a trash bag and I just picked up all the cans, the beer cans, because you inspired me. I felt like I can make a difference. This is something simple I could do. And I feel like everybody can do that.
Yeah.
And that's
everybody can do that.
Everybody can do something simple. Can you imagine?
That's gotta make you feel good.
Oh man, it's my life's work.
Yeah,
it's better than ever being voted for. It's better than ever being anything. If we can all create those little ripples together, Chicago's gonna benefit because it's pretty simple, actually. I love processing. So, you know, I think you need to figure out what language people speak and speak that language with them. Mm-hmm. I think there's ways to protest, construct, and it's not just tearing stuff down.
Right.
Like, protesting can happen in CPS boardrooms. It could happen at the aldermanic meetings, town hall meetings, city council meetings, wherever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just, you know, I don't know if people are fighting for humanity or fighting for Instagram nowadays. That's how many people be at the protest, but.
Mm-hmm. What has shocked you the most since all of this has started with the protests? What have you seen that you were like, wow, I did not expect that?
I wasn't shocked or surprised. I mean, I grew up, I remember when I was like 6 years old, a white dude looked at my dad and said, "That's a nice young boy you got there. If I was younger, I'd kill him." Mm. Like, so me, I've been pulled over in Indiana. I've been pulled over in Wahoo, Nebraska. I've been pulled over in Burlington, Wisconsin for no reason. Mm-hmm. So to me, this is like, I've dealt with racism my entire life. Mm-hmm. Right? I never was called American until I went overseas. It was the first time I ever called American.
Wow.
So to me, I'm not, I've always been outraged. Like, you know, so this is, I didn't have to, you know, front or develop some kind of like talking points. if one thing has shocked me has been the how phony a lot of people have been. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of corporations, you know, we've needed support for so long, right? But now suddenly, you know, there just needs to be, okay, I love the support, but I want to see what you guys do next year and the year afterwards, because students are going to need access to opportunities next year too. So you want to donate food to the community, that's fine, but let's just make sure that we're doing something systemic too, like investing in their education. So yeah, I've been shocked by how people don't know how to help. You know, it's like, don't expect me to, like, you need to have done your research by the time you meet me. I shouldn't have to think about how you can, like, how I can change your business model, help me. Respect me, man. Like, how do you want to help? Oh, we don't know what to do. How do you? It's like, I've been making so many decision trees for people. Like, hey, okay, if you have $5,000 of disposable income, maybe you're a giver a month. If you have that a month, you should give. If you have $2,500 of disposable income a month, maybe you can make some phone calls and give a little bit. If you only got $500 of disposable income a month, maybe you're a doer, you know. But regardless if you're a giver, in between, or doer, we could all be sharing articles, we could all be volunteering, we could all be doing something. Like, that's a quick decision tree. Figure out where you're at, you know. And so
it's exhausting, it's infuriating.
It is. It's like, it's, and then
it's almost like you have to educate people on racism to even begin the conversation.
Exactly. It's crazy. So
but I can tell also it's like this tension with you personally, because you're such a positive person.
Yeah,
you're an optimistic person.
I am. I'm internally optimistic. That's the first three-syllable word I learned growing up. I remember being homeless and my dad taught me what that meant. He's gonna be optimistic. What does that mean? And he told me that. I wake up in a good mood every day, right?
Yeah. You couldn't do what you've done if you weren't optimistic. Mm-hmm. That there isn't a better way.
Yeah, I like
right?
that. I like that.
If you weren't optimistic, none of this would be.
Exactly, because people. I just don't believe in sustainability. I believe in God, and I believe in trying to help, and I believe in love, and yeah, those are my things I believe in. But yeah, so I'm optimistic. I'm saddened. I am really tired though, because I feel like I feel it's been personally, I've been going through some struggles, and then having to just like field so many calls and do so many things, it's just like it's been a lot. But anyway,
you started out really wanting to, it sounds like, learn Chicago and learn it well.
Yeah.
You know, you have a goal of political office someday in Chicago. Over the past 5 years, what has been some of the biggest lessons you've learned?
I think success is what you attract. It's not what you pursue, right? You know, you're attractive by being attractive. You have to, I don't believe in sustainability of nonprofits. I just gave up on that because, you know, my home got foreclosed trying to start a nonprofit and trying to be sustainable.
Did
right?
it?
It did, in Chatham. Doing what you love to do, you can organically build relationships with people that'll help you be successful. Mm-hmm. If you love what you do, you organically build relationships. It's a journey, and it's a faith walk. Mm-hmm. Doing this nonprofit work, it's been 12 years for me. You know, it's a faith walk.
I mean, let's be honest. You could be doing a lot of different things and making a whole lot of more money, right? You're not doing this for the money. You said your home was foreclosed doing this. So what is it about this that is so important?
I don't know how to do anything else. It's what I'm good at. Like, I grew up homeless. You know, I grew up very poor, but I always wanted to. I think God uses me to inspire people. Mm-hmm. That's my gift, and so I know I'm walking in my purpose. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what, if you know that,
yeah,
that keeps you going.
Yeah.
This has been a privilege. I mean that.
Thanks,
Jamal.
No doubt.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Dine For the Podcast. For more information on the show, the guests, and the podcast, head to todineforTV.com. You can find us on Instagram at todineforTV and Facebook at todinefor with Kate Sullivan. Thanks to the sponsors of To Dine For the Podcast, American National and Spiritless. Special thank you to producer and sound editor John Golner. To the loyal followers of this program, cheers, stay hungry, and stay inspired. I'll see you back at the table soon.
The goal for My Block, My Hood, My City is one of optimism. It's one of purity. It's a purity of thought. How do you, in the midst of all of this, stay true and keep your mind strong and pure and in a good place, right? Like, stay inspired.
I cry a lot. I don't know.
Yeah.
I give a lot. I've gotten more from volunteering ever than anybody can even imagine. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, I went from selling my books downtown in front of Foot Locker every day, maybe selling 5 books a day.
Did you?
Trying to raise money for my family.
Yep.
Got my home foreclosed. Went through a divorce, all that stuff. This is a faith walk.